It's time for the Access of Easy podcast, the weekly technology digest that keeps you ahead of the curve. Brought to you by EasyDNS.com.
Welcome back, everybody. Access of Easy, the last Access of Easy episode before Christmas. I believe there is no written or recorded release after this week until the new year. So with that housekeeping out of the way, as usual, my name is Joey. That's Len. Buddy, did you notice that we're supposed to get like 5 centimeters of snow overnight and then some more tomorrow? I didn't know that until about an hour ago.
Yeah, and I have a party to attend midday tomorrow, so I'm not sure if it's going to actually take place.
What party? What are you talking about? You want to party without me?
Nah, sorry. I was just going to shovel the snow tomorrow after. It was going to be, yeah. So yeah, so we'll see if this thing really happens, Joey. The one day it snows this year, and it just so happens on a day where I was supposed to go out. But it's okay. My car has been through a lot of snowstorms before. It's going to go through a lot more moving forward. If it starts, that's another, you know, question. But it's okay. We could push it there.
Yeah.
It's good for the legs. Except for pushing it uphill. Holy cow. That thing.
Yeah, it might be a little tough, eh? It might be a little tough.
Yeah, it's 3,000 pounds. But that's why you keep the tires full.
I'll be out there shoveling tomorrow if I have to, but I have 2 cars in the driveway, thankfully, at the moment. So we'll see if I end up doing that. Plus, like with a newborn, I don't really go anywhere. I was thinking
about,
I was thinking to myself today. I'm like an avid gym goer. I've been an avid gym goer for, I mean, I'm 37 now, more than 15, 16 years. When did I start going? 19, almost 20 years I've been going to the gym. I've been to the gym since my daughter was born, I think 3 times. Now I have a setup here too, but it is a big difference working out in your basement compared to going to a commercial gym. And, you know, it's not always about just the quality of the workout, but also about sort of the mental element of being in a weight room with other people who are lifting weights as opposed to in your basement. So I thought about that today. Like, I haven't been anywhere. My wife and I have a dinner to go to tomorrow night in the city for her Christmas sort of get together, her Christmas bash for work. But other than that, Len, like, not only have I not been anywhere, I have nothing on the docket to go anywhere. Like, we're intentionally kind of locking down here. You know, sorry if I triggered anyone with that phrase, but things are changing, buddy. I don't know. How did you do? How did you manage the first 6 months, 1 year with your little one there? I don't know how much of a party animal you were before.
I don't know
anything now.
I never was to begin with. My daughter was born in April, and it was an interesting summer. That's all I could say. It was an interesting summer.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, with that out of the way, I guess last week's quote.
Less they see, the better. Because
10 minutes into the show here,
I played a lot of tennis that summer. Still, I can't believe it. It was a good year.
Oh God.
My wife. I mean, bless her. I could not believe it. My daughter was born on a Tuesday. The weekend following, so not the next, the 2 weekends after, so like 9-10 days later, she was on a tennis court after a C-section.
Yeah.
I swear she's the toughest person I've met. And you could throw all kinds of stuff at her. She just parries it like no tomorrow. Me, I'm like, you know, I'm huddled in a corner crying. You know,
you're the orchid. We call you the orchid. If it's not 75 and sunny, you're wilting.
I'm terrible for that, and I have to admit it. It's, yeah. So yeah, I can't stand this stupid weather too.
We're almost there, buddy. We're almost there. The days are getting longer in like what, 4 or 5 days, something like that. Yeah, it's pretty close now. Yeah, so we're cooking. If anyone's still listening or watching after that intro, we'll go to the quote of the week from last week. I consider that a man's brain originally is like a little empty attic, and you have to stock it with such furniture as you choose. That was from Arthur Conan Doyle. 2 correct answers. Not bad. But John got it first. So big congrats to John. Your next renewal is on the house. This week's quote, if you want a renewal on the house: Christmas waves a magic wand over this world, and behold, everything is softer and more beautiful. Who's that from? Rudolph? Did Rudolph say that? If you know, put it in the comments. You know the deal. No looking it up on Google. And you get your renewals, your next round of renewals on Mark and the team at Easy DNS. We have a few fun stories tonight. I predict we will be doing a little bit of towing the line. We'll be doing a little bit of dancing. We'll be doing a little bit of discussing the latest and greatest in data breach and overreach. And my friend, where do you want to start?
Marco Mendicino.
Of course. Where else will we start? Where else will we start?
You remember not too long ago in 2022, February 14th, to be specific, isn't that Valentine's Day?
Either way,
the Emergency Measures Act was invoked for the first time in Canadian history. That was as a result of the protest, which was going on in Ottawa. And the government simply just had enough and they wanted to for that to end. And so they invoked that act and arrests were made. Bank accounts were frozen for certain individuals. It was a very cold day for some folks in Ottawa then. But at the time, the then public safety minister, Marco Mendicino, apparently the thing is he was apparently deliberately lying when it comes to presenting evidence as to why it is they invoked the act. And Conservative MP Glenn Motz was leading the push for accountability. And he said, quote, "Parliament deserves clear and definitive answers. We must be entitled to the truth." And at the heart of all this is that there's the law enforcement aspect and the thought, or at least the narrative, that they were recommending the invocation of the act. But it seems like after the fact, it was not the case following a report that was submitted. Mm-hmm. And it says here in that report, the special joint committee was intentionally misled. And it just seems to be that there wasn't enough information shared. And there's a lot of waters that were muddied as a result. Keep in mind, too, that this was challenged by the federal court. And it was ruled that the invocation of the Emergency Measures Act was deemed to be unconstitutional. And it set a dangerous precedent. And the government is appealing this decision, as you know, they probably would.
As they've done on every one of these decisions over the last 2 years, by the way. Basically anything that went against them from that period of time, they've appealed it.
This is common for, you know, when something comes down, appeals, and it's not just the government appealing. Come on, let's be honest. Everybody appeals if they have the means. And the government does have means.
Unlimited means, that's for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. So really, there's questions from some people about accountability, transparency, and how much information was shared, and if people's viewpoints were skewed as a result of providing either not enough information or misinformation. I don't know. I'll leave it at that.
Where were you when the Emergencies Act thing dropped? I remember clearly. Where were you doing?
I was with my daughter getting her ready to go to school. It was a very cold day over here in Southern Ontario, and you sent me a note explaining what happened. I remember that clearly. It was a bright, sunny day over here, but over there in Ottawa, it was probably not very sunny.
Not at all. Yeah. When I remember writing you that note, I was laid up. I think it was the first week I was out of my Achilles tendon boot full time. And I remember sitting at my kitchen table and watching Freeland that afternoon, I think, give the details, right? They announced it earlier that day, then that afternoon that she gave the details with Trudeau. I still can't believe that happened. And maybe even more unbelievably that people don't seem, like the broader public doesn't seem to understand the ramifications of something like that, the ease with which it was enacted, enforced, and since then, the ease with which, by and large, the government has skated on the consequences of lying, right? At least for the moment, that's the ruling. My favorite MP, Matthew Green, suddenly on my side here, and noted in the article that he's also questioning the transparency in this whole thing. So, you know, I hate that they did this to a paisan, but at the same time, like, you know, whether or not I could befriend this guy over a couple of rounds of bocce ball or not, this is sort of shameful, the right word. I don't know. It's like overtly political for sure. And I think at the time, to credit the Bitcoin crowd and to credit the sort of general skeptics crowd, many of which I'm sure listen to this show, many of whom I should say listen to this show, I think a lot of us at the time knew that this was not true, or knew that there was additional circumstances around this that weren't being disclosed or described or considered. when they announced this whole thing. And Mendocino obviously since has been removed from his post. And, you know, Len, part of me says that this is probably a big part of the reason why. It's a shame. Do you think that the general public will remember this the next time there's notable government, you know, at the time, maybe it wasn't overreach for a lot of people, but let's say, you know, the next time there's a notable action against the public by the government, you think people will remember this, that it's going to be fresh in their minds?
No, people forget. Let's even take a step out of this whole story. Well, before we do that, let's remember the players that were involved. We had Mendocino, Lametti was there. Yeah. He stepped down as well. Freeland was there at the conference explaining what was the ramifications of the
consequences will be real and they will bite, were her words. And it turns out that it was all smoke and mirrors. I don't know. You pick your phrase, but it certainly wasn't as bad as they said. Anyway, go ahead.
So those are the people that were involved. Now, fast forward 3.5 years later or 2.5 years later, and we have one of those individuals just stand up against the prime minister. Mm-hmm. What's the saying? A lot of people are saying she should potentially run as the prime minister. Well, I'm not saying she should or she shouldn't. I'm just trying to say, look, you know, maybe memory is short for some folks or longer for others. I don't know. Maybe they like what was done or they forgot what was done.
A lot of people don't like what was done, I think. I don't know what your circles are like, but I remember going to parties at that time and everybody was saying they were glad about this. The truckers deserve to have the sort of hammer of the law brought toward them and the full force of the, you know, available action levied against them. I thought, you gotta be kidding me. This is like obvious David and Goliath story here. And people are siding with Goliath everywhere I looked. It felt like, that's why, like, in retrospect, I think a lot of people realize that maybe that whole thing was overblown, right? The pandemic and all this stuff. That's one piece of it. But I really hope that the lesson there is that you can never be in a position where you can be debanked, censored, whatever, by a government over something you think or a protest. This isn't a Bitcoin show, but that's one piece of it, I think, is Bitcoin. The other piece is just remembering when you go to the ballot box and when you talk to your friends and not biting your tongue. Don't be afraid to say what you really think. If you think that this was overreach, you may find that others are waiting for someone to break the ice. And maybe you're the guy with the pick. You know, you might be the guy with the pickaxe in your social setting.
Like you say, if this was against your beliefs, you have opportunities to voice your opinion come election time. But if this was something you liked and it seems like you have, in your circles, there were some people that like this, or a lot of people like this.
Yeah.
Maybe it will be something to think about when it comes to vote as well. They'll remember the things that the government did that they agreed with, and they're like, "Oh, you know what? If it's good or bad, if they like it, this is democracy. This is the way it works."
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah,
totally.
Let's go ChatGPT. Let's talk about that. Are you a not a user, Jack, but do you pay for a service? It's you or your wife for this or something like that?
No. She used to have a license through work, but
have you used it before? Like,
I have. I continue to think broadly that it underachieves. It's sort of oversold by the people who created it and the people who want you to think that AI is the next big thing. But when I use it, I'm always underwhelmed. I don't know.
Well, maybe what do you get with the paid membership versus a free membership?
Just faster access and, more broad. I know the yawn there, a bit of a Freudian slip.
But no, when I do a search on ChatGPT, it doesn't take forever. I mean,
exactly. You don't get much for the extra seat. You used to get, I think, more, not necessarily because ChatGPT had more firepower, but because other services didn't have the bandwidth to facilitate and respond to all the requests they were getting for, you know, God, Len, there was probably like a 3-month period a year ago when everybody and their sister was asking for some stupid picture on some AI platform. Was there not? And this AI slop is everywhere now. And it's sort of frowned upon. It's gone the other direction where it used to be impressive that you could get an AI photo for your blog or for your website or for your product. And now it's kind of like, oh God, like you're using AI photography or AI animations for stuff. Call of Duty, Treyarch came under fire for this 2 weeks ago when the Christmas, sort of thematics released for the game, someone noticed that in the loading screen, there's like an elf that looks, you know, a bit militaristic. It's kind of themed as a military guy. And the elf has six fingers, which is a common problem on ChatGPT. Oh,
yeah. Okay.
Yeah, or these AI platforms that make the photos, right? So okay. Not only did he use AI to do the photo probably, but on top of that, they, you know, maybe use the free trial too. So there you go.
Well, good for them. They are value oriented.
Yeah.
Those are the people I want to be associated with and also purchase their products.
For sure.
Let's talk a little more about ChatGPT, because it looks like they might be censoring information on individuals. So this AI thing is, you know, maybe not all it's cracked up to be. You know, it's a great tool for searching and stuff like that. But when you're talking about transparency, you know, it kind of leaves a sour taste in my mouth. And it looks like this gentleman by the name of Jonathan Turley, he's the Shapiro Professor of Public Interest Law at George Washington University. He's been ghosted by ChatGPT because, you know, he criticized the platform, and then ChatGPT decided, you know what, as retribution, I'm going to ghost you. And so other notable figures were also ghosted, such as Harvard professor Jonathan Zittrain and CNBC anchor David Faber. And yeah, it's like this Turley guy, like, he's no jabroni, right? Like, he's a leading expert on constitutional law and civil liberties. And he's written quite a bit on First Amendment rights and free speech. He's also a frequent contributor to numerous television programs and providing his opinions about all this stuff. And this other guy, laptop.
I'm going to show you something after this. Uh-huh. Yeah, this is an important part of the story here for the video crowd.
All right. So we have Jonathan Zittrain is a professor of law and computer science at Harvard University. Again, another person that's not a jabroni. He's a leading expert on internet governance and online privacy. And David Faber, well, you know, he's an anchor at CNBC and, you know, business news and so forth. So covers a wide variety of subjects. But yeah, these guys are respected individuals in their specific fields. And now that, you know, they've spoken out against AI and they're not getting ghosted, it's kind of funny that it's doing that. Is it trolling the internet for articles about it and figuring out what's being written or said about it?
I think Altman is sensitive. I'm going to show you something interesting. Okay.
Go ahead.
I have ChatGPT on my phone. Like I mentioned earlier, I've kind of used it a bit. When I Google when I ChatGPT, who is Prof Turley? Okay. Do you see what it responds with?
It's hard to read. It's kind of, I'm unable to provide a response
above it.
Professor Jonathan.
So ChatGPT actually does start producing a response, right? Because I didn't tell it that the guy's name was Jonathan Turley. I just said, who is Prof Turley? And then some code in there basically tells it to stop responding, stop producing, stop giving the text, whatever. And when I see that, it tells me that like they are purposely like censoring certain things. Like if you ever if ChatGPT ever produces Jonathan and Turley together, get rid of it. So probably not only can you not get anything about his work, his tenure, his academic career, whatever, you probably can't even get stuff that's sort of adjacent to him that might mention him. How much stuff is that? That seems like a lot of, you know, censorship. And that's exactly what it is that woke AI is doing here, to go through in order to what? Nerf or turf the results about a guy who doesn't like your product? Sensitive. This is exactly why he's critical of the product. Talk about self-reinforcing. This is exactly why something like Grok is going to ultimately be more successful. I pay for Twitter Premium. I think you do too, on maybe the CBP account or your personal account. I'm not sure, but
personal.
Yeah. So like, have you ever used Grok? Like Grok is outstanding. Grok is a far superior product to ChatGPT. It's not particularly close.
It's the same thing. Aren't they? Do you use the same backend, or am I wrong?
Except one gives you, I can't respond, and one gives you the full story. One gives you the things that you want to talk about or hear about, and one refuses to based on whatever greater good the programmers feel like they're serving.
So Grok, does that typically or primarily draw from X?
It does get a lot from X. I don't know if it's primarily or majority, but it does give you a lot of stuff from X. Yeah.
And ChatGPT, is it like Reddit or something like that? Or
I think I think there's a bunch of different places it pays for the language model from, or draws on from the language model. Reddit may be among them. I'm not sure. But I think broadly, it's more search engines, right? We did a story on the show, I think, about a year ago, talking about how some of the search engines, some websites were taking themselves out of the crawl, it's called. And so now you can't be crawled by certain things, whether it's GPT engines or search engines or whatever. That'll probably continue, but that's a bit of an aside just to kind of put some framing or some context around the answer to your question. I personally don't understand how people are still using ChatGPT at the cost. Grok is better, faster, cheaper, and I would argue draws on probably the best constantly updated data set in Twitter of any of the available models. So ChatGPT, I don't think is long for this world. And by the way, I don't think they're long. I don't think they think they're long for this world either, given that they tried to use the regulatory capture strategy to make sure that no one else could participate in the ecosystem under the guise of safety and security and bias and all the bullshit, excuse the language, causes that frequently the players who want to become intertwined with government use to pull up the ladder behind them. Nothing new. It's not a new strategy. No creativity, no finesse. They came up with the first big LLM. They have the catchiest name of the bunch, or did, I think. And they tried to use it to basically, bribe, cheat their way into a monopoly, and would have become an arm of the government. And fortunately did not, which has been nice to see. And by the way, Trump named, of all the guys who he could have named, the AI czar, right? Including what's his name there? Altman from ChatGPT. He ended up going with David Sachs. Sachs is on All In every week, critical as all hell of ChatGPT and Altman and that whole foundation, how they were a nonprofit. They took money from Elon, blah, blah, blah. There's a whole story there about how they were sort of crooked on the finance side too. It's no wonder these guys are sensitive. And I think they're going to get more sensitive as time goes on.
Is there a blue sky alternative?
I doubt it. I can't imagine there
the
is.
Floyd?
Where would they get the...
I'm talking about the guy that played drums for it on the Muppets.
Oh, okay. I thought you were talking about Pink Beast. Floyd. I thought you were talking about Pink
or
Floyd.
Or even them, too. Yeah, there's... What the hell are you talking about, man? Floyd Bannister, the pitcher. The ex-pitcher. So they don't have one. They should. Right? They got to pick up something.
Where would they get the compute, right? Like, they don't have the compute for it, I don't think. Because it's isn't it totally decentralized or relay based? I don't know exactly what the nature of that network is, but
they could tap into windmills or solar panels and just intermittent power.
These water mills from the tears of people crying on the platform all the time.
And they're numerous these days. Let's talk about this ransomware group. Is it Cicada?
Cicada. The bug. Yeah, the bug. You know those bugs? Yeah.
I mean, it's just all this Italian. I want to pronounce it differently. Yeah, so it's a ransomware group, and they have, it's a ransomware as a service group, actually. It's emerged in 2024, and very sophisticated stuff here, and they were employing advanced tools and targeting a wide variety of platforms like Linux, Windows, NAS devices, and so much more. I don't have a NAS device, I do want to get one because, it just makes sense to self host my stuff like that rather than just relying on a laptop with a lot of storage. But anyways, the group has been observed targeting businesses across a wide variety of critical sectors, including healthcare, manufacturing, and finance. So what did they do? Well, these guys, they decided on December 15th, just a few days ago, they decided to breach a major French dealership and its concession Peugeot. And the group allegedly stole 35 gigabytes worth of sensitive data, including invoices, passport copies, and internal communications. How the heck they got passport copies? Who goes to their local dealership and provides a copy of their passport? Like, why is that information required for purchasing a vehicle? I don't know. It's just interesting to see. But nonetheless, there's a lot of information now floating out there, 35 GB worth. So you could suspect what's going to happen. And anybody that's purchased a car over there from that French dealership, they got pwned in the process. And it just goes to show you, every time that somebody's asking you for some information, kind of think twice before you hand it over. Because, they may be asking you for it, and it may be they may not think they have anything of it, but really, like, you're giving it to them, and what's going to happen moving forward? How are they going to secure that information? Why do they need it? That's something you should be asking yourself. Why do they need it? And I don't know. I feel bad for the people that got wrecked in this thing, but what could you do? What could you do?
DomainShare probably would have helped with this attack vector. There's a little note at the bottom of the article. The fact that Concession Peugeot operates under the official subdomain concessions.peugeot.fr creates a closer association with the larger Peugeot brand. Big companies like Peugeot often let their authorized dealerships use subdomains to maintain a consistent online presence and make it easier for customers to trust their service. However, this setup means that an attack on a dealership can easily look like an attack on the main company. Will this breach only target the dealership? The use of Peugeot's domain could lead to confusion. I bet you Mark has a tool for this in DomainShare's suite of security options, number one. Number two, what can you do if you've already given your information to the dealer in person?
What information did you provide them? I'm assuming the passport.
Whatever, your address, ID.
Once you hand it over, it doesn't matter.
It's done. Honeypot. Exactly. Over and over again on this show. Honeypot. And I don't know what the fix is for this, Len. Like, we got to not be buying cars, I guess.
Buy used? So on secondhand markets?
Auto Trader only, Kijiji only. Yeah. Kijiji.fr. That's where we got to go.
You only have an email address, and you could use any email address that's associated with your Auto Trader account. And there you go.
Man.
And plus, it's probably better value. Stellantis, Peugeot is part of the Stellantis group, right? Aren't they? So Stellantis is already going through some real problems right now.
Yeah.
Here's just another one. I just got to tack it on to them. So too bad. The auto sector in Europe is really taking it on a chin these days.
It's hilarious how much stuff they got. Everything from receipts to invoices to internal comms. Like, damn.
Just burn that information after a few months. Don't keep it up forever. Well, right?
Some companies do that, right? And I'm curious as to why these guys don't. I suppose maybe if you want to get your maintenance records or something, you need some kind of file, but definitely not one with your passport. You know, you don't need to keep the passport on file just to get the oils done and oil and brakes done, I should say. Right. So yeah. I mean, the ultimate answer here is that there is no good way to store all this data. And the answer is to not store it at all. I think that's the right way forward.
Hey, this SOP chatbot. SOP, standard operating procedure.
I don't know.
It was an AI chatbot. It was developed by Optum. And that's a subsidiary of United Health Group. And this was designed to help employees navigate the company's standard operating procedures. There you go. It's SOP. And it's by answering questions. So if you ask a question to it, it will answer to you right away. And any sort of disputes or claims, it could provide you an answer. So this was internal, specifically to employees. Keep in mind, this is very, very important. Because in December 2024, there was an incident that occurred that the chatbot was accidentally left for public accessible online, so anybody could access it and get so think about who is asking questions internally. It was asking questions about people's health claims and stuff like that, disputes, and then it was left online for anybody to look at. And this exposed the chatbot to the public, and anybody with an IP address that could essentially interact with it. So who has an IP address? Every connected device to the internet. And so the chatbot itself it didn't have any sensitive information such as patient health information. It did reveal insight in how Optum members, the employees, interacted with the tool and the type of questions they asked. This might be beneficial or help people moving forward, or maybe they could try to sway things moving forward. It also raises concerns about the data privacy and security, given the fact that they left this thing for anybody online to get to it. So there was a lot of potential misuse. And this is just, it was a demo tool. It wasn't meant to be in a production environment, but lo and behold, somebody messed up and decided to just put this online, and they didn't institute any careful security measures or double check their stuff. But sensitive information could have been lost. It looks like it has not, at least that's the claim. But SOP chatbot.
Tough,
I should have downloaded that when it was available. It would have been cool to somehow get a copy of it if it was possible. Is there a GitHub for this? I'd love to see. Could I clone this SOP chatbot? I want to see if there's a GitHub. I'm curious. A GitHub. No, there isn't. Chatbot API.
There's definitely not. It's been a tough couple of weeks for companies that have United Health in the name.
Oh, is that the guy that got
whacked? It's a different company, I think, but yeah, you know, Brian Thompson did work for, he was the CEO of United Health, and that United Health Care in this story, or do I have that backwards? Yeah, this is
United Health Group for this one. So
I don't know.
Wait, hang on, this guy, he got, that's right. Did you see that? I don't want
to. It is United Health. Yeah, maybe it is. It's hard to say.
I don't want to take this into that direction. Yeah. But did you see that there's a lot of people, they're making Luigi into a martyr?
You see the picture of Luigi in the orange jumpsuit today? You cannot convince me for one second that there wasn't 100 man hours spent making sure that there was no short or fat guards with that guy on that walk. Every guy in that picture is bigger and more buff than him. And you cannot convince me for a second that that was not done on purpose.
Throw a mustache.
That kid is young. He's big. He's handsome. Everyone's seen the pictures. That guy's been to a gym. He's no stranger to a weight room. And you cannot have a bunch of Oompa Loompa looking security guys escorting, you know, the modern day martyr to his trial or to his cell.
No. I'm thinking this through a different lens, because Luigi in the game is a tall, skinny guy. Now, if you have a shorter, rotund individual,
it could be
a Mario type character.
That is true, but I don't think that's why they did it. I think a lot of people have seen these pictures over the last little while of like rotund police officers, guys who look like they don't miss any meals, and you know, instead they want guys who are big, strong looking, bigger and stronger than him, which I think is a good idea visually speaking.
Why was Mayor Eric Adams part of that whole entourage?
What else is he doing?
I don't know. He's getting pardoned by
nothing. He's not doing anything. He's bored. He's not doing anything.
But I just don't understand. Like, I understand. In the past, he was a police officer, but he separated himself from that role when he started becoming the mayor of New York. So when do mayors escort prisoners that come out of a plane? And you know what I mean? Like, I don't see Olivia Chow doing this. I don't see Mayor Suarez doing that. Like, it's just this guy, it was a one-off. It just seems so out of place.
Olivia Chow.
Right? She's not gonna do it. No, I wouldn't want her to do it. It's not her job.
No, me neither.
Why is Mayor Adams there?
It is funny. Yeah, I'm not sure why he was there. On the topic of the story, the one thing I'll add, since we're kind of going long, is there's a bit in the article here. If you haven't seen the article, it's linked in the newsletter as always. Common reasons for denials in the New York out-of-network OON dispute process. Like, people are asking ChatGPT why you would deny a request. So to your point earlier, yeah, this is going to be a big thing, I think. The question is, are they going to change policies, or do they care enough, or think that enough people got their hands on this or on the responses to make a difference in their bottom line? I'm not sure. But this is what you shouldn't. For something as important as healthcare, should you need a chatbot to tell your employees what to do or not do?
I just asked ChatGPT actually right now, why would my United Health claim be denied? It gave me a list of 11 different reasons.
So in the article, there's 10 different reasons.
I got 11 from ChatGPT. Yeah.
ChatGPT's got more reasons to let you die on the table. But like, I personally don't understand why. Don't get me wrong. I understand the importance of consistency in the answers, because the cases are always a little different on the fringes, all that stuff. I understand that. But the people you employ are not under any kind of time constraint to give answers. So why would they not just either take their time and get it right? Or shouldn't the policy be, if you're only concerned about the bottom line, you need to have a 75% first claim denial rate? And then if people want to take it to the next step, they take it to the next step. Like, I don't see a reason why you'd ever have a chatbot for this. It doesn't seem to me to help the profit margins. You know, either you do it 75% of the time and just go from there, or you have people who know the answers. But the chatbot, I don't understand.
Yeah, it's for internal employees, so they were able, hopefully, to get answers quickly.
But they shouldn't need answers, is what I'm saying. They should know it. If the question is, why would I deny out-of-network disputes, then the response from the employee, from a bottom-line standpoint, should be deny. If it's ever in question, you deny. And then later you can revisit it if they appeal you. Like, to me, that's the obvious thing, but maybe I'm out to lunch on that.
Luigi. Good for him.
God bless him.
A martyr. Let's talk about this Mask APT, the cyber espionage group. They're making news once again in the field of cybersecurity, global cybersecurity. And these guys are known for stealthy operations targeting many different sectors. And they've been active since, well, 2007. So they've been around the block many times. And they have recently turned their attention to Latin America. And I couldn't find specifically which countries it is they're going after, but looks like that's the general location where they're trying to go after. And there's a lot of orchestrated, sophisticated attacks going on. In 2019 and 2022, the group executed campaigns against specific Latin American organizations employing multifaceted approaches involving spear phishing emails and the exploit of zero-day vulnerabilities. And we talk about zero-day vulnerabilities quite a bit. And this is why people should ensure that everything is up to date. Their software is always up to date, or else you could be subjected to this. And they were sending out malicious emails and luring unsuspected victims into their netting here. A lot of things they employed, such as keystroke loggers, stuff like that. And different platforms were impacted, like Android, Apple, Windows, Mac OS. Like, these guys, they're just casting a wide net here. So when they're able, like, to send out this stuff, all these malicious tools out there and capture people, they were able to get access to sensitive information and critical systems, and confidential business documents were stolen, intellectual property information. China is going to be probably knocking on these guys' doors because they want to get that information for the IP. Personal information was also taken. And so a lot of this could be used for extortion, financial gain, the whole nine yards. So the resurgence of these guys, the Mask APT guys, it's causing people a little bit of concern because these guys have been at it for quite some time. They're experienced. They know how to deal with this game. And yeah, like, but the fact that you're dealing with Latin American countries, I'm wondering why. Is it because things could be potentially the weakest in terms of cybersecurity over there? Or do they have a vendetta against some
could
of the...
Could be the beautiful women, hard to say.
Could be. I don't know. It just seems odd. Like, why specifically target that region of the world?
The beaches?
But beaches are everywhere, man. Like, anywhere there's a coastline, there's a beach, right? Like,
Who knows?
I don't know. I couldn't find out which countries they're going after, too. It didn't.
You know, it's interesting to me that, yet again, we have a story here where if you're American... you may be exposed to these things for longer than you have to be, because the firm that identified this Mask APT, Kaspersky, like, it's unbelievable to me that these guys are doing such high level work, and in the States they banned them because they're Russian. It's actually not unbelievable. It's, you know, completely believable. And
do you remember expected. When they banned Russian Blues? Those are a type of cats, like a breed of cat from running. No. So they're cat contests, I guess they judge the beauties of the cat or whatever. And the Russian Blue, after the invasion of Ukraine, they decided to ban Russian Blue.
Insane. Insane.
Even some tennis players like Medvedev was not invited to play at Wimbledon. The heck does he have to do with it? He was born in that country. He's not out there telling the people of to go to war and shoot other people. Like, you know, I don't...
According to Trudeau, if you're born in Russia, you're actually less Russian than someone who immigrated there. So, interesting.
I never heard this thing.
Yeah, he said that the other day. I don't know if he said it the other day, but it was floating around the other day. Canadians who were born in Canada are actually less Canadian than people who immigrate. Because if you're born here, you're just a default Canadian. But if you come here, you really choose to come here. And it's like a greater commitment. Anyway, let's not go any further down that road.
Is there any truth to that, though? I wonder.
No, of course not. It's ridiculous. It's retarded. Yeah. the thing about this story that I would say is that there's yet again these like DLL, dynamic link library files that everyone downloads and uses, and
that's huge in Windows.
We see this all the time on this show, that the wedge into the door is always a DLL file. Not always, but most of the time it's a DLL file or a sys file, which is also noted in the article. Like, in Windows, there's so many different file extensions, and those ones are common in a lot of different things. I see them all the time in games. I see them all the time in you know, like OpenOffice as much DLL files. Dynamic link libraries do a lot of things for a program, and you basically need them no matter what you're downloading. And so it's a good place to stash something. Important to have good antivirus software on your computer, even if it's a little too strict. So at least you get a look at something that might be harmful to your system, might be harmful to your privacy, might be harmful to your data, whatever. What you don't want is something that's loose or nothing at all. And then by the time you find out something has happened, it's way too late. The system's compromised. You don't know how long it's been compromised for. Like you mentioned, you're talking about keystrokes, key loggers. That's everything, man. That's, you know, if you're a Bitcoiner, that's your private keys. If you're not a Bitcoiner, that's your banking passwords. It's your, you name it, all sorts of stuff. And in every single case, the answer is always to just be more careful, more diligent, have the right software, have the right protections, and know where you're downloading stuff from more than anything else, right? I think that's the answer.
Even some of these are so sophisticated. For example, if you're dealing with your Bitcoin keys and you're typing it in, it doesn't even need to log it. Some of it could just, by the sound of the keys, it's able to kind of figure out.
I've heard this before, but it seems unlikely.
I'm not sure. There may be some truth to that, but I just want to stress, if anybody does have Bitcoin, and I hope a lot of people do that are watching or listening to the show, never type it into a computer. Like if you're using a cold card, you're entering it in on that. And that's, you know, that's totally air gapped. Hopefully it is air gapped when you set it up and you're using it. So there's no way that information can be transmitted to somewhere online. Turn off the NFC, turn off the, does it have Bluetooth? I think it does. The key, NFC for right? sure.
Does the cold card mark for?
No, it doesn't.
I don't think so.
The NFC.
The queue might. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But yeah. Yeah. One turn day we'll look off. You don't need it. You don't need it.
Yeah. Agreed. Yeah, turn that garbage off. That's it. Anyway,
that's it. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. We'll see you January something. I'm not sure exactly what day we'll record again, but sooner rather than later. Until then, my friends, take care of yourselves.
Happy 2020.